You know, sometimes I'm reminded just how ironic life can be sometimes, and just it would just be so Alex to be like, okay, God or the devil. He probably talks to the devil, let's be real. But, okay, I will lose this week because, you know, I'm used to losing every week, guy. You know, it's just a normal thing. Just as long as the Eagles lose. As long as the Eagles lose. And it happened. And I assumed he followed that up with, okay, I want the Eagles to lose still because, you know, I gave concessions at the start. So now I don't want any concessions. Now I want to win and I want the Eagles to lose because it would just be so Alex to start with concessions and then realize, oh, wait, I didn't have to give concessions. I can just, you know, take what I want and move on with life. And that is the reality of
love of God. What? Nobody wants to hear your stupid ass monologue yet again, because this is not a regular week. This should have been done last week. But I understand that you were afraid of the wrath that was going to be bestowed upon you after the miserable performances, but like just week after week by the miserable Eagles. And I understand why you had to skip that week. I understand, like, mentally you were just preparing yourself
for the shock being a good partner.
That you it doesn't matter what you're saying right now. It doesn't matter. So just stick to the guide, stick to your place, and let me talk. This is my monologue right now, not your monologue. Your monologue is over. Your monologue last week before, that's all that. Maybe next week the monologue comes back. Now it's my monologue. So shush it, it's over. Angelo, my man, I understand it's rough. You were coming off a high. I mean, it was a great feeling that you were having. I mean, your takes all seem to be pretty right. Last time that the folks in the show here listened to us, you came off of an astounding week where you had like 10 wins. I had one of my worst weeks maybe ever. And I think I said to you in this very place that just like Rocky Balboa once said, in life, it's not about how hard you can get hit. No, my bad. Let me go back. It's not about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. And that's what I told you that I was going to do. I was going to keep forward. I stood my ground and I still said, the Eagles are miserable. I'm going to bounce back in the picks. And you know what happened the week after? The fraudulent ass Eagles got exposed versus the Broncos. You were in your little chat room and you were like, oh my God, who can stop God's team, Alex? Alex, could this be the first team ever to go 17-0? Jordan Best doesn't even know that other teams have gone 17-0. You probably meant regular season, but you didn't say that, so that was all over. And then, you know what happened, Angelo? God turned the back on the Eagles. So Rocky still remains the last good thing to come out of Philadelphia. The Eagles got abandoned by God. They're being abandoned by the wide receiver, AJ Brown. He's winking to the media. He's basically just ditching all of that crazy ass shit. Like, the fans are starting to leave the Eagles as well. It's all in disarray because after that, they lose to the crappy ass Giants. You once again, after you saw the miserable state that they did to the Denver Broncos, you looked at that and you said, I'm still going to back the Eagles. And you know what happened the week after? They got Cam Scatabooed out of their asses. They got Jackson Dart out of their asses. And they just got beat by a couple of Star Wars dorks that just love the franchise and love to just shit all over the Eagles and do backflips after they drag their dicks all over their faces. So that was all fine and dandy. So the Eagles got completely exposed as the little fraudulent ass that they are. It is what it is, Angela. I'm sorry that you were wrong on that. You were wrong on plenty of things right now. That's just one of them, one of the main things. The other one is your boy, Justin Fields. I'm on a high right now, Angela. The Eagles are fraudulent, as I always said. The Seahawks are maybe one of the best teams in the league, definitely top five. I have one of the MVP candidates right now playing for my team, my boy Sam Darnold, GQ Buzz. And then all of that, just to finish up with a golden key. In London, I got the taste of watching Jets fans clamoring back for Zach Wilson. because what they're getting right now with your precious little Justin Fields, it's just like the worst experience ever. Do you know, Angelo, I think you would consider, because you can't talk right now, you're probably getting muted at some point. But I think as someone that has watched the NFL for quite a while, I think you would agree that the Jets have maybe the worst track record ever in terms of QB. I mean, they have one good one in their entire history and like what you can actually call a really good one. And it's Joe Namath, like back when the TV was in black and white.
For the Jets.
Jets, shush, shush, or you're getting blocked. Shush, or you're getting blocked. And with all of that, Justin Fields still managed to set a franchise record. They just had a game in which they had minus 10 yards net passing. It's absolutely ridiculous of a display of a QB playing for that franchise. And that's saying a lot because that franchise is used to absolutely mediocre QB play. And that's putting it lightly. And then I watch all of that and I go to Jets Reddit. And someone tried to compare Justin Fields to Zach Wilson. Everyone, and I mean everyone, was defending my boy versus the atrocity that is Justin Fields. That like, even in the lows for Zach Wilson could still throw some wild passes, and Justin Fields is like a deer in headlights. He can't pass, he can't read the field, he can't even run right now. Mediocre QB after mediocre QB. And this one is the one that they hit rock bottom. So not only did my predictions on the Seahawks game correct, my predictions on the Eagles game correct, my predictions on Justin Fields are coming correct as well. I'm also beating you right now in picks. Like, this past week, major blowout, like, beat you by 4 picks. You don't even have that to hang on about. So I don't even know what the monologue was going to be this week. The monologue should have just been, guys, sometimes in life, you know, I suck. That should have been it. And you would have prevented me from going on this, like, 10-minute range that I'm going on right now. It should have all been avoided, Angelo, but you couldn't stick to your role. You couldn't know your role and shut your damn mouth. And this is where it led you, Angelo. It led you to absolutely poverty, both in picks, in the Eagles, in the Seahawks, in Justin Fields. Everything is going bad for you. And now, because you called the Eagles the God team, God completely abandoned them. He also abandoned you in Dynasty, because now every player that you like, Emeka Ekwuka, he's out. Malik Nabers, he's out. I mean, sure enough, Chris Olave is next, so get ready for that, little bitch. It's all coming down to you, and you know, I am feeling grateful for the opportunity to be here, do my little last monologue here. I know you were getting used to it quite a bit, but I think this one was mine to take. So maybe I'm gonna allow you to speak a little bit right now, but I hope you don't overextend, or else I'm gonna have to snatch your mic again and just go over on another tirade.
So let's start with where you lied, and where you lied was you're beating me on the season. No, you are not beating me on the season.
I'm beating you on picks right now. That's what I said. I beat you 10-6 this week. The momentum is turning.
You are losing.
The momentum is turning right now, Angelo.
You haven't won a season since we started this. You're not going to start now. Get back in your corner, little bro.
Hey. Everything is coming up, Alex, now.
Yeah, for 1 week. Good job. The Eagles had a bad game on a short week. Good job. Congratulations.
Versus the Giants. And they had two bad games because they lost twice, in case you didn't know.
Like, congratulations. You're still going to lose on the season like you always lose every season ever.
Just like the Eagles were God's team.
They still are.
They still aren't. God has done a very nice job with them right now, I see.
He likes to give his disciples trials and tribulations, and this is the stretch that is in now.
We'll see. He gave them a trial and tribulation, and they failed immediately. They gave him a second one called Camp Scarabu, and they failed immediately when it came to the face of that man. It's just too much for them. Like, at the first sign, they're even getting help still. Like, God hasn't completely abandoned them. God is still allowing them to pull off sides when they're running that shitty-ass tush-push play that they like so much. Like, they can offside all they want. Like, that play is getting banned next offseason. Like, that's out of the window right now, because every single time that they run it, there's clips of them just going offsides and the ref not giving anything about it. So God hasn't completely abandoned them, but at the smallest trial and tribulation that they faced, they crumbled like little bitches that they are. This is the Philadelphia Eagles for you. They're not about to repeat. I mean, the only thing they're about to repeat is what happened 2 years ago, where everything was crap. Like, the defense was crap. The offense wasn't getting in sync. They got beat the first time that they faced the Buccaneers in the playoffs. It's just going to happen again. They're not a good team this year. They're going to get beat. They're not going to go to the Super Bowl. Heck, do they even win the division at this point? They are just an absolute tragedy of a team, just like I always told you. They're complete frauds, and it's not getting better. Now you have the diva wide receiver going to the podium, lying to the media. It's like everyone in that offense is saying, yeah, we had positive meetings with the offense this week. I really liked it. And then he goes to the podium. He gets asked about those meetings. And his answer is that he smirks at the media, and then he's like, I don't know about any of that. I wasn't involved in any of that. So, I mean, it's going fine and dandy right now. I can definitely see how it's going fine and dandy for them. I'm sorry, Angelo. You have to take an L on that one.
The Eagles lost twice, but the Eagles will return. Like the end of the Marvel cinematic, you know, movies, they will return. They are coming back. Don't you
mediocrity.
Worry. Oh, my God.
The team is more dysfunctional than when they had Donovan McNabb out there saying that his all-pro wide receiver shouldn't be an all-pro. So this is getting to that level of pettiness right now. Like, the OC, everyone wants the OC out of the window. Like, everyone, they invested a ton of money on defense. They got, like, that last year in the draft, they got Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell, both to the secondary. They're still missing all of the secondary. Like, the secondary is still dog trash. Like, they live and die about Jalen Carter, who is, like, as you saw in the first game, all of a sudden he can just spit on a guy and he gets thrown out of the building. So what good is that for them? Like, this is the Eagles that you wanted. This is the type of team that you have right now. This is the mediocre-ass Philadelphia Eagles. And soon enough, people will clamor for Jalen Hurts to get benched, for Sirianni to be fired, because those are the type of fans that they are.
Ridiculous.
You will see. The Philadelphia market.
Alex, it was the Eagles losing two games does to Alex. Jesus, man.
Hey, I am all fine and dandy right now. I am living life. Everything is looking up for me right now. I'm ready. I told you. I wasn't going to go down. I was just gonna keep on getting hit and keep on moving forward, just like Rocky said. And hey, here I am right now, still moving forward, and you're being left behind right now. The train has left the station, Angelo. You're not on it.
We'll see. We'll see, buddy. You got anything else, man? You got anything else you want to talk about? You want to talk about the Bengals losing again?
Hey, at least you have Joe trying again to Jamar Chase, right?
That's all we got going for us.
Hey, for fantasy, that's enough. Heck of a catch by Jamar Chase in the end of that game. Really bailed me out in our main league. So, ups to Jamar Chase. I feel like you guys are about to do something very funny, Steelers.
I think you were about... You know what the very funny thing is we're about to do? Is lose terribly. That's the very funny thing. Ha ha.
Still don't buy the Steelers.
You still don't buy this team. They're only a one-loss team, buddy.
Yeah. And I can't really remember a single game in which I've looked at them and I said, okay, they're playing great. Like, they play okay to average most games. And their wins have come versus very... I mean, just off the top of my head, they had the London game versus Carson Wentz, where Carson Wentz basically lost that game all by himself. Then on week four was the Vikings game. Then on week, when was it? Week week three, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, week three, where they beat the Patriots. And, like, for all intents and purposes, for what I watched that game, the Patriots were the better side for most of it. They faced the Seahawks. They lost miserably to the Seahawks. And then on week one, if I'm not mistaken, it was the Jets. So, like, they allowed 32 points to the guy that just set a record for the Jets for how awful he is at QB. And they allowed 32 points to that guy.
You happy now? Yeah, you got to talk to about the Jets again.
Hey, I'm moving on. I'm loving life right now, as I said. Everything is coming up to me.
Don't you only have an hour left? Don't we have to get these picks in?
We can still talk about the week. There's still more time to talk about the week. Is there any game that you want to talk about?
In particular, no.
How about my Seahawks?
Yeah, they looked good against the Jaguars.
I mean, the team that you told me was going to be better than them, that you rated over them, they got completely embarrassed by the Seahawks.
What I learned last week is, because a lot of crazy
shit happened. You learned a lot of things. You learned a lot of things, Angelo.
What I learned... Okay. We'll see about that when the picks come along. But what I learned is I am better in when you can, you know, discuss reasoning, you know, discuss the matchups and make an educated guess. Alex is better at, like, ad-libbing it and, like, oh, this team's going to win, this team's going to win. Alex is much better at that. And unfortunately, circumstances, you know, gave you a situation where
you do not got to believe this guy. He was afraid of facing the wrath of Alex.
Bullshit. What wrath?
No. It's time to tell the truth, Angelo. I know deep down that was the issue. So
it was not the issue.
Hey. Okay. Hot takes for you. New England Patriots, best team in the AFC East.
False. False by a wide margin. Bills.
They beat the Bills straight up. And the Bills, I'll make this case to you. Go back and look at the Bills' win. So the Bills, they faced, let me pull them back. They faced the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
Where they scored 41 points, they won by one in the end. We know how crappy the Baltimore Ravens defense has been for the entirety of the season so far. It's an okay win, I would say, because even on offense, they seem to not be 100% right now. Henry seems a bit slow and all that. Then they beat the Jets by 20. Okay. It's not a very impressive win because the Jets are perhaps the worst team in the league. Then they beat the Miami Dolphins by 10. Again, they beat maybe, a bottom five team in the league, I would say. So right now they've beaten two bottom five teams in the league, and they beat the Ravens, who have a bottom five defense in the league, I would say, at this point. Week four, they faced... Where is it? Week four, they faced the Saints. I think it would be fair to say they are a bottom, eighth team in the league? So, and after that, week five, they lost versus the Patriots. Week six, they lost versus the Atlanta Falcons. So, basically, their wins have come versus one of the worst defenses in the league, or versus teams that are at the bottom 8, 10 in the league. Everything else they've lost. I don't necessarily think they are a great team right now.
I think the Bills will be fine.
They might be fine. I don't think they're better than the Patriots, though.
They are better than the Patriots. Stop it!
How can you say that they're better than the Patriots when straight up they got beat by the Patriots? Like, clean.
Yeah. In Foxborough, if I'm not mistaken. Or was this in Buffalo?
No, in Buffalo. They lost by 3 in Buffalo.
That's fair.
I mean,
yeah, and you look at the Patriots. Honestly, okay, James Carolina. Cook didn't have a very good game that game.
The Patriots have been 100%. The Patriots have been shutting out any running back that they face. Like, you look at the stats by running backs that they face, they haven't really put up anything. But again, the Patriots, they have two losses, if I'm not mistaken. One of them was versus the Steelers. If he lost, again, they lost. They beat the Miami Dolphins, exactly. They beat... Who did they beat on week one? Trying to find the game. Week one, it was the... No, they lost versus the Raiders. So they started out slow, and then they beat the Bills, the Dolphins. They beat the Saints, and they beat who else? They beat... Where's the last win? They beat Carolina. So again, you look at the wins that both teams have, what's the more impressive win amongst all of them? I would say it's the Patriots beating the Bills. And I think this could be the crazy one. I think there's an outside chance that Drake May could be in the MVP conversation.
Oh my God, stop this!
I mean, I'm just saying it how it is. Obviously, right now, the main guy is Baker Mayfield. That's the guy for the award. But I think Drake May has an offside chance because this team reminds me a lot of the, for example, the Atlanta Falcons or the Atlanta Falcons that went to the Super Bowl or the Washington Commanders from last year, where everything is lining up. They got a great coach right now. And the schedule, because they were so bad last year, the schedule is just opening up for them. You look at the teams that they face this year, their schedule isn't anything to fear right now. It's a very beatable schedule. They are also in the same division as the Bills, so like two of those teams are fairly easy to beat in terms of the Dolphins and the Jets. I think there's an outside chance here, Angelo. Like, let me tell you some of the names that they're about to face. So this week they face the Titans. I think we can all agree that they're going to bash their head in, for lack of a better word.
I think you're going to be surprised with some of my picks this week.
Buddy, if you go against them, I feel for you. I really feel for you if you go against the Patriots versus the Titans. Because I think Vrabel goes in there with an agenda. And I won't put this mildly. They're about to skull fuck the Tennessee Titans. So after that, it's the Cleveland Browns. They face the Falcons, up and down team. They face the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Probably the... Yeah, I'll say it. The Buccaneers are the most... are the most...
The best team they're going to face this year.
I wanted to put it in another way, but yeah.
Courage of your convictions, just say it out!
No, they are the best team that they're going to face this year. I was going to say they are the most imposing team that they can ever face in the season, because again, after the Bucks, it drops down to the Bills. I don't think the Bills are at the level of the Bucks right now.
I think the Bills will be...
I'm saying they might be fine. They might make the playoffs. They're not winning this division because the Patriots' schedule... I mean, it's the Titans, it's the Browns, it's the Falcons, it's the Bucks. They still face the Jets, the Bengals, the Giants, the Ravens, the crappy-ass Ravens defense, the Jets, and the Dolphins. Like, all of that is coming up to the New England Patriots. I can easily see one.
I know that, I'm not sure exactly on the week, but I know that the Bengals play the Patriots week. They might actually be facing the Joe Burrow Patriots, or the Joe Burrow Bengals.
Isn't he... I think he's only coming back, if he comes back, it's only in December.
Yes.
They face them on the 23rd of November.
Never mind.
Yeah.
I knew it was late. I didn't know if it was in December or not.
Yeah, it could be possible that he's back, but it would be very stretching. It's probably a week or two before he's ready. But, I mean, yeah, like, I look at the schedule coming up for them. And I can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 easy wins for them right now. That puts them at 9 already. I don't know how they don't win this division. And I think Drake May is playing great football. And I think Drake May, with the opposition that he's about to have, I think he's on track to be in the MVP conversation by the end of the season. And he might just be the best QB of that class.
That one I don't think is as high of a take now.
Okay. And would it be as hard of a take to say that Jaden Daniels is not the second best QB in that class?
That would be a spicy take, yeah.
They went head-to-head this week. Caleb made some plays. Caleb didn't play great, but Caleb made some plays. And Caleb, the one thing that Caleb has done that is
very... They invested everything in him, Alex. Everything. They pulled together all the King's horses and all the King's men to make sure Caleb Williams could be successful.
And isn't he being back on that? He is playing well. He's playing quite well right now, no?
Caleb? He's playing all right.
Yeah. Or at least paying up for him. I mean, the one thing that I think it's the most impressive right now, Caleb.
Honestly, I think the reason why I could see Drake maybe being the best quarterback is because he is doing it with the least amount of investment in him. They are throwing out... What even is Drake May's best target if it's not a running back? Is it the tight end?
It's Diggs.
They got Diggs. But they got 30-year-old Diggs.
But Diggs is still coming back into form, and he's been playing well this year. I think the most impressive thing on Caleb.
Yeah, you're not wrong about that.
Yeah, and he's still ramping up from injury. As far as I know, he wasn't even scheduled to start week one. And he came back to play week one. And he's been ramping up his snaps and all of that. I think eventually we see the Stephon Diggs. Not of hold, but a close enough Stephon Diggs to that one. But coming back to Caleb, I think the most impressive thing right now that I've been seeing from him is the evolution. I mean, he goes from bottom of the league in terms of pressure to sack rate. Last year, it was around 28.2, if I'm not mistaken, which was the league worst. And this year, it's only 13.7. Like, yes, cut that down massively. He is right around the average in the league right now. I think I compare this a lot to the Texans and CJ Stroud. I think this is what Texans fans thought they were getting with D'Amico Ryan and CJ Stroud. I think that's it with Caleb and Johnson right now. Ben Johnson. I think the Bears fans are getting what the Texans fans thought they were about to get. It's just a great young QB that had a very rough year with a not-so-great coach. And he goes into year two, and every Houston fan was thinking, okay, Stroud is going to take an even further because Stroud, like, base... was very good from the start because he got the coach, he got all of that from the jump. He got the investment from the team as you like to point out with Caleb Williams. Stroud got that as well. And they got a very good year one, and everyone was expecting the leap on year two, and it didn't really happen. And now in year three, it's even worse. And I think with Caleb, I think you're getting the leap in year two, and I think you're getting an even bigger leap going into year three, because there's still things that you can improve on this team. There's the running back situation. Defense has been looking very rough this year. All of that can still improve quite a bit, and I think this team is poised to make some great things.
Buddy. The Bears in one draft class, one of the last two, pick either one, have invested more in the weapons in Caleb Williams than the Texans have in CJ Stroud, buddy. Like, do you got the top 10 pick wide receiver that the Texans selected for CJ Stroud?
I have the top three player that they moved up to get in order to improve the team around CJ Stroud. Because don't forget, they might not have drafted the guy for CJ Stroud to throw the footballs to, but they made the jump up. Like a whole lot of move to jump up in order to get Will Anderson to make the defense a better place for him to not have to throw as much to chase some of those games, because the Texans defense without Will Anderson isn't probably as good as it is with Will Anderson. I don't think I need to
to state that. I don't think that's an asinine take. And they paid a whole lot to move up to get him. So I think that's fair to say that that has helped Caleb. The investment that they made on defense, bringing in Darnell Hunter, for example, I think that has also helped Caleb Williams, CJ Stroud quite a bit. I think bringing in Stephon Diggs when they did, I think drafting Tank Dell because Caleb Williams asked for him specifically, I think that all has helped. Jesus Christ, I keep seeing Caleb. I think all of that has helped CJ Stroud quite a bit.
Yeah, because you're thinking of all the heavy investment that Caleb Williams got. The not one, but two first-round wide receivers, the first-round tight end, the defensive end that they traded for, which is Sweat, and then paid, like, the offensive line that they invested in. Like, you're talking about, you're comparing a guy.
You're telling all of this to me as if the Texans didn't do something similar.
The Texans just traded away their offensive lineman. The Texans
because he
starting
was crap.
Oh my god.
He was one of the most not overhyped, because it's not hype, but he was one of the most overvalued tackles in the league. Laramie Tunsil was. He was taking a step down. He was taking way too many false start penalties. That's why they moved him, because he was losing a step. He couldn't, like, if he jumped on time, he wouldn't really be able to stop most of the edge rushers. He was losing a step. That's why they moved him. And you're trying to say all of this to me as if they didn't spend a lot of resources helping CJ Stroud as well. As I said, they moved up quite a bit to get Will Anderson with the 10th pick, if I'm not mistaken, or something along those lines. They moved up with the Cardinals. Yeah, they moved the future first round pick plus to get Will Anderson. Then they paid up for Darnell Hunter, Daniil Hunter, that is. Then they traded up and paid Diggs to join the team as well. They paid Nico Collins as well quite a bit of money to stay in the team with CJ Stroud. They drafted Tank Dell because CJ Stroud asked him to. They drafted Jaden Higgins this year, for example.
In the second round, or the third round.
I mean, yeah. Lifting Burden was what? The late first round pick. Sorry, like I know that there's a difference between picking the guy at, like,
Burden isn't even. I haven't even mentioned Luther Burden. That's the thing. They drafted Roma Dunze with a top 10 pick, and then they went next year and drafted Luther Burden in the first
Luther
round.
Luther Burden
after
was
then,
a second round pick.
Then, after
second
then,
round pick. Second after, round pick, Angelo.
After, oh, I thought he was 21st. My bad. After then selecting a tight end with one of the top 15 picks in the first round.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I am still failing to see how that's different from trading your future first round pick. So you're essentially using your first round pick on a player. You're actually using first round picks. You're using the 10th overall pick plus a pick in the next year in 2024. So it was the 10th pick overall in 2023 plus first round pick in 2024 to move up to draft what, top 5 defensive player in the defensive end league. So that's what they moved up to immediately help CJ Stroud, because as you know, when you have a very crappy ass defense, you need an anchor in there in order to make the games competitive. Otherwise, your QB is throwing the ball 50 times, which, as you know, by experience with Joe Burrow, it's not a very good thing for your rookie QB to have. So they went out there, and okay, they didn't see an offensive player that could help CJ Stroud. They saw that beast of a defensive player in Will Anderson. They moved up to get that guy, help CJ Stroud another way. Then they traded in Stephon Diggs. Then they moved second or third round. They drafted Tank Dell. Then this year, with the second or third round, they drafted Jaden Higgins. If I'm not mistaken, they drafted yet another guy this year. They brought in Dalton Schultz, for example. They paid him $21 million or something across 2-3 years, if I'm not mistaken. I still fail to see how that's all that much different from what CJ Stroud got when he got to the Texans. And the thing is, the result is CJ Stroud had a very solid, very good year one. They met to the playoffs. Year two, he took a massive dip. Caleb Williams, very bad year one. Year two, he's taking a massive leap. Like, right now, they're basically in the same point in their career in year two. In year three, CJ Stroud took yet another dip. I can only see this going up to Caleb Williams right now, because there's still a lot of things that this team can improve, and I'm seeing willingness from this front office to improve. And I think, honestly, the coaching staff with the Bears right now is better than the Texans. So I can only say that next year it's going to be definite proof that Caleb Williams is a better QB than CJ Stroud.
I don't know if I can say that.
Hey, you're just going to have to wait and see on this one. It's been the trend recently that I'm right. So I think it's just time for you to tip your hat and just accept that. I think maybe one final note or two before we move on to the picks. Tampa Bay is a top what team in the league right now?
Say that again?
Tampa Bay is a top what team in the league right now?
I hate to say this. I'd argue top three. With the way they're playing.
I would ask, what teams would you put ahead of Tampa Bay? Like, current play, take out the bias on the Eagles and all of that. Because I think even you can see the flaws right now. Current form, not what you think.
But if I can't use the Eagles, I'd say the Lions are better.
It gets very hard. No, it gets very hard to name teams that are better than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
In the NFL?
If you look, even at the Detroit Lions, let me put you like Bills. This. The Bills are definitely not better. I think they get poked race by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But let me put you like this. What team in the league can you have that is missing their starting running back, their top three wide receivers, their top four wide receivers, and they have a defense that isn't great, that bends a lot but doesn't break a whole lot? How many of those teams can still look you in the eyes in a team like San Francisco, in a team like Seattle the week prior, in which, for all intents and purposes, we have a top three offense in the league right now statistically, and he can just look them in the eye, and you have a guy throwing the football and throwing touchdowns and making plays with your fifth, sixth, seventh wide receiver. Like, you look at the Detroit Lions, you take Jared Goff, Jahmyr Gibbs, you take Amon-Ra St. Brown, you take Jameson Williams, you take, I don't even know what's after that, Isaac Tesla. You take all of those guys away from Detroit, do you even think Jared Goff can be doing what Baker Mayfield is doing right now?
It's possible, mostly because of the Detroit offensive line.
I don't know, man. Like, what Baker? There was, I don't know how much you watched that Tampa Bay game, but there was a sequence in there. It was retweeted quite a bit, in which it was, I believe it was a third and long, third and 15 or third and 16, something along those lines. Baker Mayfield has the football, pressure is coming, he drops back, he starts to run, he breaks a tackle. He breaks a second tackle. Then you have San Francisco holding down on them. They're about to bring him down. Even the announcer is saying that the play is over. He's not going to get there. On a third or fourth even breath or attempt, he moves the pile with his legs. He gets the first down. The comments were kind of legendary, the commentary team, because it's like, Baker Mayfield is not going to get there. Oh, wait, on a second push, he's getting there. And I think that defines Baker's career quite a bit. Because I wasn't a big Baker guy when he came out. But now I'm just in love with the guy. Like, what he's doing on the football field, I think it's magical. Because after he gets that first down, he throws a 30-yard touchdown to, like, Tez Johnson, a guy that weighs 150 pounds soaking wet. Yeah. Like, he just throws a massive bullet to Tez Johnson, who scores a touchdown, MVP chance breakout. And it's just, I think that Tampa Bay Buccaneers is the best team in the league right now.
I think they're playing very well. I'll give them that. They are.
That's what I'm not saying end of the season. I'm saying right now, they're the best team in the league.
No, I can see that. I get that. Yeah. I also still cannot explain the Colts. I don't understand the Colts. The Colts are like a... I think they just run on spite. Like, they hate me.
They run on vibes. That's all they do. Finally, final question before we move on. Is KC back?
No.
Are you sure about that?
They're getting there, but not yet.
I mean, Mahomes is playing great, and he has been throwing to some very poor wide receivers, and Rashee Rice is back this week.
Are you saying that the team that lost to the Jaguars is back?
The game that they lost to the Jaguars, I'm not balking a whole lot on them for that.
You're not balking on them? Oh.
They lost that game because Chris Jones couldn't bother to make a play. Like, Trevor Lawrence goes down with the football. A simple tap from any Chiefs defenders ends the game, basically. And he just stands there looking at the play, does nothing. And Trevor Lawrence moves on and he just scores a touchdown like nothing happened. That play doesn't happen. I mean, the Chiefs are 4-2. Everyone would be saying that they're back. And I think they're back, honestly. I'm not putting a lot of weight on that Jags loss because I think that was a very weird game. I was watching that game for most of it. They were always on top of Jags. I think the Jags team is very weird in the sense that their highest are crazy. Their lows are like... Trevor Lawrence is one of the worst QBs in the league. It's just like, it's a high variance team right now. And I don't think the scheme is necessarily set right now. Like, they still seem to struggle to get the balls in the ends of their playmakers. I was watching that game versus Seattle. Like, they were all over the place at times. At times, I would see great football from them. In the next drive, they looked like they didn't have a clue what they were doing out there in the field. So I think they're a very weird team in that sense, a high variance team in that sense. I think KC is back, and I think KC is the team to beat in the AFC.
You think Kansas City is the team to beat in the AFC?
I think the AFC is very fraudulent right now.
Fraudulent. So you are not on board with, because this is basically what it's been for the last 3-4 years now. Pretty much, it's going to be Kansas City versus Buffalo or Baltimore. We can talk about how Baltimore has fallen, but you don't think that's going to be the case, that we're going to come here in a few, we're going to get on this microphone in a few months, and it's just going to be, and it's KC against Buffalo again. You think that there's a chance that we could see like Patriots versus Colts, which I would probably die in my bed if that happened, or you know, some kind of other matchup?
I think it's another matchup because the Bills won't be at that level.
I think
it will run through KC.
Ramp up as the season goes on.
I have some issues with the Bills in terms of what they can do on the run defense. I think their run defense is very beatable. I think they got just exposed again by the Atlanta Falcons last night.
It looked bad. John Robinson looked
even better than what he actually
like
is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the run defense, I think, has a lot of issues. I think their linebacker core right now has some injuries as well. I believe Terrell Bernard left the game for quite a bit. If he is out, I know they're going to be on bye. But if he's out moving forward, that's even worse for them. I think the secondary has some players out as well. And on offense, I think they're finally getting exposed by the fact that they really don't have a great wide receiver on the team. They don't even have an average one, probably, or a good one, I'd say, on the team right now. They're trying to emulate what KC did, and I don't think they have necessarily the same type of QB as KC. Not that Josh Allen isn't good, but I think whenever you rely too much on Josh Allen, you have a high variance QB, in which he can make some wild plays, but the turnovers will jump through the roof as well quite a bit. And I don't think you're going to win a lot of games if that's the thing. I think they will need to go back and rely a lot on the run, which means they probably won't be putting up the same sort of numbers that they're trying to put. And the numbers that they're going to put aren't going to make up for how bad their defense is. So I think they're in a bit of a limbo right now, in which I think they're solid. I don't think they're at the level as they were last year, for example.
Interesting. I still have faith in the Bills. I think if Kansas City makes the playoffs, I'm not betting against Patrick Mahomes. I don't care. The Colts could go pseudo undefeated and I wouldn't care.
We're going into week 7. Not only is KC going to the playoffs, but the run to the Super Bowl goes through KC. This is not a prediction. This is a spoiler.
Yeah. With the spoilers. Your spoilers haven't been too hot lately, buddy.
Hey, the Eagles were a nice spoiler.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have this one now. Okay. For a bit, I'm going to have this one.
You have. I don't know about for a bit, buddy, but you got it. The Eagles lost 2 games. You had to get, you had to pump your chest out. And I get
they
it.
Lost. Not only did they lose 2 games, they lost versus the Giants with a duo of dorks. And they lost versus the Broncos, who I'm not sure have a good QB. So I think the losses that you're trying to scoff shouldn't be scoffed at. I think they're very worrisome losses. Final note on the Seahawks. Can we please stop giving the ball to Joik Bell 2.0? For the love of God, just give the ball to Kenneth Walker. I'd die a little bit whenever
Walker, when you were talking about Drake Bell 2.0.
No, the guy, like, Kenneth Walker has, like, 30% of just this week, he had 30% of the snap share versus Zach Charbonnet. This is bad. People don't know this, probably, with Charbonnet. But I think there's this perception with the Seahawks, in which, how would you say this role is split right now? Look from the outside looking into this backfield, what do you think about it? How do you think this is split in terms of like what player gets which carries, what player is better at what? What do you think it's happening here?
55-45 in favor of Kenneth Walker. I think Charbonnet is a more complete back as far as skill set, but I think Kenneth Walker is a much, much better rusher. Go on.
Okay. So the split this week was 65-35, if I'm not mistaken, in favor of Charbonnet. We are 8th in running attempts in the league. We are also 24th in yards and 27th in yards per attempt. Between Kenneth Walker and Charbonnet, Walker is averaging more yards, more first downs, better success rate, more yards per attempt. And he has basically one more carry per game. Charbonnet, on the plays that he has been having, ranks dead last in yards per carry amongst qualified rushers. Kenneth Walker is top 2 in explosive rush percentage, top 3 in missed tackle by forced attempts. Charbonnet is bottom 5 in explosive rush percentage and bottom 10 What's the one? I have the stat here. But I can't even understand my own writing at this point.
Can't even read your own chicken scratch.
No. missed tackles force per attempt. So it's bottom 5. It's bottom 10 on that. I don't know how this is happening anymore. I don't. Also, Charbonnet is, again, trying to read my own scrambles. Because these were written, a few days ago. He is the 3rd worst running back in terms of explosive play rate, and he has the highest the highest rate of runs for zero or negative yards. Just so you know, one in every three carries that we give him hurt the Seattle Seahawks because they go for zero or less yards. One in every three. And again, this isn't volume. This isn't a guy that has a lot of volume compared to Kenneth Walker, because in terms of carries, they're nearly identical so far. Kenneth Walker even has one more carry per game. This is just, we are giving the ball to Charbonnet, and he is doing absolutely nothing with it. We're giving the ball to Kenneth Walker, he's doing something with it, and we still give the ball to Charbonnet, and we play Charbonnet more. And I'm just looking at this, and I'm thinking, who has Kenneth Walker banged? Like, has he banged any coach's wife? Has he banged any GM's wife? What is happening? What did you say?
I thought you were trying to imply that Zach Charbonnet was the nepotism hire. Walker did something bad.
Kenneth Walker might have done something bad to someone in there. Because that's the only reasoning that I have. Like, this dude, whenever we give him the football, he looks good. Whenever we give the ball to Charbonnet, he looks slow. He looks like Joik Bell 2.0. And we keep giving the ball to the Joik Bell 2.0. And I'm just sitting here and thinking, what are we doing? What is this? I don't know what to... Like, this offense is so good. And it could be just so much better. As I said, we are bottom... We're bottom 8 in the league in rushing. Because we keep giving the ball to crappy dude. I don't know what to tell you. This is the most infuriating backfield ever.
And I love it. You got a guy who you're going to tout as a franchise quarterback and one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And you have an extremely talented rusher in Kenneth Walker, and yet you're giving as many touches to someone who you've described as a jag, just another guy.
Joik Bell 2.0.
And you just made the argument that he might be worse than a jag.
I think it's very clear that he's worse than a jag. But yeah, it's just an infuriating scenario right now. But we still have a great offense. JSN is still maybe the best wide receiver in the league right now. But unfortunately, this offense just could have a whole new level if we give the ball to the right person, and we're not. So that's a bit of an infuriating thing. I hope that that gets changed and we don't trade Kenneth Walker. That get to play him a bit more. But let's see when that goes right now.
We'll see.
Okay. Anything else to add for week 6?
I'm ready to get back on track and kick your ass in the picks. That's what I'm ready for.
Okay.
I've been ready, Alex. Let's go.
You've been dreading this moment. Okay, so small recap.
Dreading. Oh, the recap. Yeah, dreading. Go on. Do your thing.
So, week 5. I'll start with this. Week 5. We didn't get to do this recap. But Angelo went 9-7. I took the win on the Eagles. He took the win on the picks. 9-7. I think there were some bad beats in there, but I'm not going to get too hung up on it. It's the best right now. But yeah, he actually, no, it's not 9-7. It's 10-7 because it's missing the
49ers. Yes.
The Thursday night football game. Yeah. So. But after that, week 6, Alex comes back and he beats Angelo 10-6. Clean. An impressive run to end, actually, because I, from the Cincinnati game all the way to the last game, I won them all, and you lost them all, if I'm not mistaken. Or you won one.
I won Cincy.
Yeah, you won Cincy. You lost all the primetime games, by the way.
I know. I'm well aware, Alex. I'm well aware.
Well, the audience needed to know as well. So that puts the overall record. You at 48 wins. I am at 42 wins. So I'm only trailing by 6 right now. And we move on to week 7. And it starts with Thursday Night Football. It starts with Pittsburgh at the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals are 4.5-point underdogs in this game. I think simple as, I don't think any of the units on the field is great. I think the Steelers' defense isn't anything to write home about. I think the Cincinnati Bengals' defense is absolutely atrocious. But I think the Steelers' offense is very up and down right now. It's not regular. It's very unpredictable at this point. I think Aaron Rodgers' season is looking better than what it actually is. I think there's a lot of misguidance. I think there's a lot of short throws in there that get just masqueraded by the players making good plays. I believe DK Metcalf, for example, that was his first touchdown over 20 yards, or his first catch over 20 yards. It happened last week versus the Cleveland Browns. In terms of air yards, that is, 20 air yards. I think with Flacco, I think there's a narrative here that he is bringing this team up a bit. I think what I saw from him versus the Packers, I saw some good plays from him. I saw him getting the ball out quickly. And I like what I've saw for the most part. And I think that's just week one, where he didn't even know the playbook all that much. I'm going to go with Cincinnati plus 4.5. I think this number, I think the Bengals should be favorites here. I'll tell you that much.
What? Yep. What did you just say? Repeat what you just said right now.
I think they should be favorites by like a point.
Oh my god, Alex. Oh. So, oh, that's...
You're going to win this game.
They're not winning. Oh my god, Alex. They are not winning game. This is...
You'll see.
The only team that made Joe Flacco look like a good quarterback. He's on now. He's on the Bengals defense. So no, I'm going with Pittsburgh. What are you talking about? The Steelers are going to like ravage Joe Flacco, and the Bengals defense couldn't stop a fucking high school team from the looks of it right now.
The dragon is getting unleashed.
Oh, the dragon. Get out of here. You want to?
You are going to win this game, man.
You're quickly approaching, like taking my Bengals fan card and just keeping it for yourself. That's the kind of opium you're on right now, dude. Like,
you are winning this game.
The Bengals are going to win this game against the Steelers.
They are going to win this game.
I would be more. I would be as shocked as I was when the Browns beat the Packers.
Hey, just wait and see. I'm going to be so right on this one.
You're not right. You're riding off Eagles losing 2-game high, and now you're just out here calling bullshit. Like, let's get back to fucking normalcy. Fucking Sunday night at 9:30 a.m., so it's in Europe.
You're getting flustered.
The fucking Rams against the Jaguars. Give me the Rams.
It's in London.
It's in London. Yes, I know. And the Jaguars usually... Actually,
home game for the Jags.
No, you don't want the Rams. Or you want the Rams. Give me the Jags.
Oh, Angelo is getting flustered right now. He's trying to figure out what I'm gonna pick before I even pick. Oh, he is losing it right now. I'm in his head 24/7 at this point. I feel I was not expecting this, Angelo. Okay, I see you. So you had what? Jags?
The Jags in London, yes.
Okay. So Puka is probably going to be out. But opposite end, I believe Devin Lloyd is going to be out for the Jags. The fact that Puka is out makes me question this a bit. Puka was in, this is 100% the Rams. And maybe even the Rams -4.5 or so. I think the Rams are still the better team. Even traveling, even without Puka. I will take the high variance of Jags, and I hope they turn that against him. And I'm going to go with the Rams -3.5 because of that. Okay.
Finally, back to normalcy.
the New Orleans Saints at the Chicago Bears. The Bears are 5.5-point favorites on this one. An interesting game. Lost in the midst of all of this is the fact that Spencer Rattler has been playing very well this year. But I think he has been beating the expectations that were set out for him. And I like what I've seen from him for most of the time. I think 5.5, although I like the Bears, I think 5.5 is the number that is a bit high for the Bears. Because I think even in the games that they were good in, they still couldn't pull away massively. There's still going to be a bit of mistake here and there. I think this line is super high because they just beat the Commanders. The run game looked good, which I don't expect to look for most of those games. I think they win, but I think the Saints cover. So give me the Saints plus 5.5.
I think if Caleb is as good as you seem to think he is, they will cover this. The Golden Boy will cover this.
Okay, but you don't believe in that.
I don't, but I do think they're covering this.
So you're giving me credit here.
Yeah.
Okay.
You wanna
play this both sides, because if you win, you're gonna be here and you're gonna tell me that I didn't have the courage of my beliefs. And if this loses, you're gonna sit here and you're gonna say that my Golden Boy can't cover 5.5 versus the Saints. So you wanna play this both ways.
Yeah, it's a great position to be in, buddy.
You're a sneaky, sneaky guy. Sneaky, sneaky guy. Okay.
Next up, Miami at Cleveland. If I'm not mistaken, earlier in the day, did Mike McDaniels get fired? I'm actually about to check that.
No, he did not.
He did not get fired. Only the Tennessee Titans' Brian Callahan got fired. Wow.
Yep. That was the only one fired so far. And Tua came out and he admitted all of the blame, because Tua went out there and he put the whole team on blast, saying that players were missing player-only meetings and that the leadership in the team should be doing something better at, which, again, maybe he's taking it to get himself right there, but okay. And he came out today and he apologized for all of that. So that's always fun.
If there is one thing the Cleveland Browns can do well, it's convince a team that they need to fire their head coach. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Cleveland here. Go ahead.
It's another tough game because Cleveland... I think I'm going to go Cleveland. Purely because I think Quishon Judkins can run all over Miami.
That defense, just, yeah, that's very good. Like, the Browns offense isn't anything to write home about. It's actually probably the worst in the NFL, let's be real, as far as talent profile goes.
Gabriel looks absolutely rough.
But if there is a defense that can make the Browns offense look, well, two, it's the Bengals and the Dolphins, and now they're facing one of them. So, yeah. Got it.
I'm going to be right there with you. I think they run the ball maybe 30-plus times. And just Miami gets stuffed a lot on the runs because Cleveland has one of the best run defenses in the league. They still have one of the best defenses in the league. They have a shutdown corner that they will put on Jalen Waddle. I think this is a good game for fantasy for Darren Waller maybe. But outside of that, it's going to be rough. Okay. The Las Vegas Raiders at the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs are an 11.5-point favorites. I don't know about this one. It feels like a number that is too high because this is a divisional game. But at the same time, the number is probably justified. Because the Raiders are that bad. Geno Smith is a turnover machine. Brock Bowers probably not going to be back yet. And they are about the Chiefs
good last week against the Lions, look, too. Really, really good.
They have looked good all of the games, or most of the games that they've been in. And now they got Rashee Rice back. So I think I'm going to go with KC minus 11.5, even if the number looks too big.
I have a sneaky, this is just feeling. I'm literally just going on feeling on this. I have a sneaky suspicion Ashton Jeanty is about to have one of those crazy games again. And because of that, I am going with Las Vegas to cover. I still think Casey wins this. But it just feels like a trap game. Like, doesn't it? It's not prime time.
It does feel. As I said, first thing that I said, it's a line that it is too big. It looks too big for the game that it is. Divisional game, not a prime time game. Like, everyone would bet KC. It can't be that easy, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, let me look up one thing before I make the next pick. So, next game is Eagles versus Vikings. It is in Minnesota. I'm looking up,
JJ
McCarthy going? Yeah, that's exactly what I'm trying to figure out. Is JJ McCarthy going to be available for this week? He acknowledged that his ankle is not 100%. So we're likely having Carson Wentz.
No. The thing is, Carson Wentz has a shoulder injury that has only gotten worse during the bye.
It got worse?
I don't know, but the reports right now are heavily suggesting that it might be undrafted rookie. I don't even know his name. Undrafted rookie Max Brosmer starting for week 7.
Do you know what that means, Alex? Do you know what that means? Do you know what time it is, Alex? Do you know what time of the year it is for the Eagles? It's the get right time. It's the get right game. The Eagles are going to smash, and they're going to embarrass the Vikings. So give me the Eagles. I was always going to go the Eagles, but I wanted to see, like, if I could pitch a case for the Vikings. But no. None of it, Alex. Pick the Eagles and be happy, Alex. Pick them. Do it. Feel good.
If it's Carson Wentz, I think there's the revenge game narrative here for Minnesota.
God.
Against my better judgment, I wouldn't tell anyone to follow this pick. But I need to stand on game, as you usually say. I need to have courage. I'm going to stand on business. I have to have the courage of my beliefs. And although I think Eagles minus 2.5 is 100% the correct play, I'm going to go with Minnesota plus 2.5.
Oh, man. What the hell is
happening? Stand on game.
What the Eagles losing two games does to a motherfucker. Holy shit. Jesus. Man.
We're standing on business. Okay. Carolina Panthers at the New York Jets. Carolina 1.5-point favorite. 3-3.
The fucking Las Vegas has as much faith in the Panthers as I do. Oh my god.
Hey, if you're feeling that confident, I'm gonna go with Carolina minus 1.5. I think it should be fairly easy for you to select the guy with the Jets record for net passing yards in the game, for less net passing yards game. Also, the defense that allows I'm not sure if it's the most, but it's probably up there. It's one of the worst rush defenses in the league versus a guy in Rico Dowdle that seems to have been possessed by the ghost of Jim Brown. So I think it should be fairly easy for you to make a pick here. I'm sure that you're just going to pick the Jets and everything is going to be fine. But if the line was Panthers minus 5.5, I would take the Panthers. So 1.5, I think it's a walk on a park. It's my gold pick, by the way.
So unlike you, I have to agree with you. I don't think the Jets are covering. Or I think the Panthers are covering. I don't think the Jets cover this line. Yeah, yeah, that's an easy gold. which would make Angelo it funnier if it didn't hit.
What, sometimes you got... not standing on business. Okay.
Sometimes you got. Sometimes you just got to make the right pick, dude.
It's the layup.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of standing on business, new coach. I don't think Cam Ward is as bad as everyone thinks he is, or the Titans. I am going with the Titans. Plus 7.5, meaning the Patriots are favored in Tennessee by 7.5 points, meaning this line should be closer to 10.
The game could be in Mars, Angelo.
The game could be
and Mars. The line could be 15. I would still take the Patriots. As I said before, in a very not safe for work manner, Vrabel is going to skullfuck the Tennessee Titans for firing him. It's over. Like, the thing is, you're saying new coach bounce. Isn't the guy, let me double check that, isn't the guy with Tennessee the former coach of the Chargers? Mike McCoy, exactly. It is, let me just open this. Mike McCoy, it is the former Chargers, exactly. Former Chargers head coach who would wear the little, I always remember this. Because it's back when I first watched the NFL, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, the Chargers. Yeah, back in, he was the coach of the Chargers from 13 to 16, which was right around the time when I started watching the NFL. And it always struck with me that this guy looked like the most ridiculous guy in the sidelines using that little golf lady visor thing. That they use in golf. And he just looked so ridiculous whenever he was just standing there. And I think this is going to go exactly like that. Like, I don't know if you remember this, but he had success in his first year with the Chargers. After that, he went 9-7, 4-12, and 5-11. Like, it was absolutely ridiculous. He's part of the reason why we think the Chargers are a bunch of chokers. He's part of the lore of the Chargers. And you first thing you said was new manager bounce or new coach bounce or new coach in the town. Heck, leave Brian Callahan in. If you're going to replace him by another shitty ass coach, leave Brian Callahan in. At this point. This guy was damn near retired from the NFL. He hadn't been in the NFL for like, what, 3 years, if I'm not mistaken? 2 years? Oh my god, dude. Vrabel is gonna skullfuck them. This is my silver pick. It's over.
It's over, he says.
The New York Giants at the Denver Broncos. Broncos are 7.5-point favorites. Cam Scadaboo and Jackson Dart, the Star Wars duo, is coming into town. I will tell you right now that I don't think this is lasting with Jackson Dart. I don't think Jackson Dart is anything special. But I think the vibes are high right now. And I think this is a team that has found some identity in these two players. I think that the fans are behind them. I think they're playing well enough. And I think, as I said before, I am not entirely certain that Denver has a good QB. I think they have an average QB at best. I've been seeing some worrisome signs from Bo Nix. 7.5 feels like way too much. I respect the Broncos defense, but 7.5, dude. Like, those guys have heart. Like, Jackson Dart is willing to live it out on the field for that team. Cam Scadaboo is making backflips in victory formation. He's running through dudes. He's headbutting his teammates. He's headbutting his coach. Those dudes are psychos, man. Give me the Giants plus 7.5. I think something special can happen in there in the last play of the game in which they just covered this line for me with a crazy-ass touchdown.
Even if they don't win, I don't think they are going to win. But hey, 7.5, I think this is way too much. This is an offense, the Broncos, that just put up 12 versus the crappy-ass Jets defense. The Giants actually have good pass rushers, so...
Yeah, I gotta agree with you. The heat's there, the vibe's there, yeah. I agree with you. You're right on this one. Take your medicine.
I'm loving it.
I'm not even gonna fucking... This next one is the Chargers in LA against the Colts. The Chargers are favored at 1.5. Just give me the Colts. I don't understand the Colts. Just... I don't get it. They shouldn't be winning these games. I don't understand the Colts. I don't get it. But give me the Colts.
I don't think anyone understands the Colts. But it's provocative. It gets people going. That's the Colts. I'm just going to go with the Colts as well. I think the Chargers without their offensive line pieces, with their defense that is...
Yeah.
They lost what as well?
I said they've lost like half or more of that offensive line.
Yes, yes, exactly. They've lost, if I'm not mistaken, it's 3 of the starting offensive linemen. Quentin Johnston also missed last game. I don't know if he's going to be back for this one or not.
Wide receiver, one of the Chargers. Thank you.
No, that's Lev. Lev's still there. Your best rookie running back, Mario Hampton, he's on IR right now. So they have to lean on Kamani Vidal. The one thing that worries me is that the Colts defense, especially the secondary, is missing a lot of pieces, and it's been very rough right now. That secondary has been terrible right now. So that puts a hold on me for that one. I don't know if I can go with that pick. Because I've just seen them allow 20-plus points to Jacoby Brissett. Because of that, I think I'm going to go with the Chargers.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the Chargers. Defense scares me for the Colts.
I get it.
This could be a barn burner.
Okay, it's going to be a good game, I think.
Okay. Green Bay Packers at the Arizona Cardinals. Cardinals, we didn't even get to talk about it, but lost one of the most embarrassing games I've ever seen versus the Tennessee Titans. Then they turn it around. And the offense actually looked better with Jacoby Brissett than with Kyler Murray. But they're gonna be out of Marv. Marv, I believe, had an injury last game. He should be out this game as well. I'm not sure if Kyler is gonna be back or not. I'm just going to go with Green Bay, like -6.5. That number should be good enough here for them to win it out, because I think their defense is better than the Colts. Their offense are going to be able to put up points. The Cardinals defense isn't anything to write home about, I'd say. So just give me the Packers -6.5.
Yeah, I think that's another easy one. I think you're right. The Packers defense is pretty good. Like, the only thing concern I have is the Packers seem to have this weird tendency to play down to their opponents for a good chunk of their games, honestly.
It is true.
But, yeah. I think there's a chance Green Bay just runs away with this from the start and doesn't look back. We get to see that Jordan Love that looks oppressive again. Next up, Dallas Cowboys are home against the Washington Commanders. The Commanders are favored by 2.5. I don't trust the Cowboys defense at all. Just give me the Commanders. 2.5 points.
Right there with you. I think the Commanders have looked off at times this year.
I think if this was closer to like 6 or 7, I would go with the Cowboys, because the Cowboys offense does look like it can keep up. Dak looks like a good quarterback. But 2.5, that's less than a field goal. I don't see it. I don't see the vision.
If the team was a bit better, I also think that could be in the MVP race.
Oh, 1,000%.
But I mean, this defense is absolutely disastrous.
Yeah.
Like, Rico Dowdle was gashing these dudes for like 8 yards per carry, and he wasn't even breaking like any major runs. He was just getting like 8 to 7 yards a pop easily every time he touched the football.
The Cowboys need to give their defense the Caleb Williams treatment.
You know who's the defensive coordinator? Though?
Who's that?
Former Chicago Bears coach who almost ruined Caleb Williams. Matt Eberflus.
Ooh, Matt Flus. Might be out of another job.
They're not happy. They're not happy with Eberflus. I'll tell you that right now.
Ooh, this one's interesting. This one we might disagree with coming up.
The Atlanta Falcons at the San Francisco 49ers. The Niners are 3.5-point favorites at home. I believe this is the return of Brock Purdy. I believe this is the return of George Kittle.
Yep.
I think the numbers have been inflated because of what they did versus the Bills. I think this Atlanta Falcons team is solid, but I think it's still a young team. I think it's an up-and-down team. I'm afraid of laying just being 3.5. Sacrifice, I'm not afraid, because again, we've discussed this. The Niners do not sacrifice anyone anymore. I was tempted of going with the Niners, -3.5. But here's the thing. They are no longer counting with Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa is out for the year. Now Fred Warner is out for the year as well. I don't know if this defense can stop the Atlanta Falcons. I can easily see this being a game in which the game is tied. The Niners have the last drive. They settle for a field goal and they win. Because of that, I'm going to go with Atlanta +3.5 because I think this is a 3-point game. I think the Niners win this by 3. On the dot.
Yeah, I'm sticking with my Niners. Speaking of which, your best team in the NFL, Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Detroit. Detroit favored by 4.5. Yeah, I'm not going to get too fancy with it. This is Monday Night Football. Give me Detroit in Detroit.
I could be backing Baker without Bucky, without the Mecca, without Mike, without Chris Godwin.
Yep.
It sounds insane.
It does.
But Baker has that dog in him, dude. Baker is just... he's on another level right now. I am going to go with Baker. Give me +4.5. I think this number, if it was below a touchdown, I might reconsider. But +4.5, I know this team won't quit. I know Baker won't quit. And I know they can make a lot of lemonade without a lot of lemons on offense. So I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers +4.5.
Oh, buddy, here we go.
This one, I think it's pretty self-explanatory. It's the Houston Texans at the Seattle Seahawks. It's a super late game, by the way. It's a Monday Night Football doubleheader, quote-unquote, because it's not a doubleheader at all. This game is starting at like 3 a.m. my time.
Yeah, it's just... here.
Yeah, it's an insane West Coast game. The Texans are out of a bye. But the Seahawks, I mean, we have great defense. We have a great offense. JSN is the best wide receiver in the league right now.
Go on.
I do hope that eventually we turn this rush game around and we give carries to the proper guy. But even then, I have to go with my Seahawks. -3.5, I think this number is too good to pass up. I have an MVP level QB playing for me right now. I got a rookie card from him. I got a Sam Darnold rookie patch auto out of 99. It's standing on my desk right now. He's going to be here for the entire season. Hey, I'm Team GQ Bus right now. I've always been Team GQ Bus, even when he joined the league. I'm back.
Just give me the Houston Texans. Go on.
All right. Small recap on the minerals last week, because I didn't post those. By the way, last week we didn't record, but the picks were all posted on our Twitter. If you're not following it yet, it's @NoReservesRadio. whenever we miss a show for whatever happened, I'll notify them there.
Just if we ever don't do a show, just go with yes. Alex.
Just go Alex. There. Yeah. We'll let you know that we're not doing a show. We'll drop the pics there. So everything is in there. And for the minerals, I didn't tweet that one out yet. Or didn't tweet that one out, period. Because I only collect them. I only collected those picks afterwards. But the minerals were gold pick. I had the Chicago Bears. That's a win. I had the silver pick. I had the Tennessee Titans, plus 4.5. That's a loss. I have the Cincinnati Bengals as my bronze pick, plus 14.5. That was a win. As for Angelo, it was Detroit, plus 1.5 for the gold pick. That was a loss. Cincinnati, plus 14.5 for the silver. That's a win. And for the bronze, it was Tennessee plus 4.5, and that's a loss as well. Overall records, gold record, I am 1-5, Angelo is 4-2. Silver record, I am 1-5, Angelo is 5-1. Bronze record, I am 3-3, Angelo is 1-5. So for this week, I already gave out two. It's Carolina, minus 1.5, that's gold. New England, minus 7.5, that's silver. And it's Cincinnati plus 4.5. That's bronze.
For my gold pick, I'm going to go with the Jaguars in London.
Jolly old London. That's gold, right?
For my silver, I'm going to go with the Eagles getting right. And for my bronze, I'm going to go for the storyline of the Browns firing Mike McDaniels.
Okay. I was super confused because Mike McDaniels wasn't fired and the Browns do not have Mike McDaniels as a coach. So how are they getting Mike McDaniels fired?
By winning out.
And then?
By winning.
All right. Those are the picks. Do you have anything else to add, Angelo?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I do have something to add. I think this was, honestly... Smart. Honestly, one of my worst episodes was this. I think after this episode, I need a get right episode next week.
Oh, why is that? In terms of picks, energy, what are you saying?
No, I think the picks, but I think I was just on the back foot from the start of the episode, and you know, sometimes you have a bad outing, and it was a bad outing.
I left you flustered. I understand. It's understandable. Rough couple of weeks for you on your main takes. On your main teams, so I totally understand that, Angelo.
That's what I got.
Okay, guys. If you've listened this far, thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed the show. We're going to be back next week for sure. After that one, I don't know if there's going to be a show or just pics on Twitter. I don't know if Angelo's going to be able to get anyone because I'm not going to be around. But next week, for sure, we're here. Thank you so much if you've listened this far. Make sure, if you're listening to the Apple Podcast app and the Spotify app, just make sure to leave us a 5-star review, turn on the auto downloads, subscribe to the show, that always helps out as well. Make sure to follow us on Twitter as well, just to catch up on any of the late news about the show. If there's no show, we'll drop the pics. If there's no show, we're going to warn you that there's no show. So make sure to follow us at No Reserves Radio, always helps out as well. And thank you so much. As always, talk to you next week.
Peace out, guys.